Thank you, Nelson. I was talking to my dad last night, and first off, I want to give greetings from my dad, John Voskamp, to all the brothers and sisters here. He misses the fellowship, and he just has fond memories of the love, the care that he remembers the Soul Bible Chat, the folks here. So greetings from my dad, and he had a thorn in the flesh. If you can believe it, he cleaned up some thorns in the fall, and it's just healing. He's been once or twice in and out of emergency. It swelled up. A tiny little thorn is stuck in his finger. They won't cut it out. It swelled up. He got next to blood poisoning up his arm. It swelled up under. He got a swollen. And this has been going on for a month and a half or since fall. It didn't flare up right away. It took a month or two before the poison got. So they think it's healed, but they still see it there on the x-rays. Twice it showed up, it's still there. So pray that would totally be healed. Evelyn had surgery on a part next to the stomach. I can't remember the name. Pete would know it. Duodenum. That's the name that comes to mind. It's a tiny little tract between the after the stomach. There was a mass in there. We thank the Lord it wasn't cancer. But she's just starting to get her appetite back. That's after a month and a half ago, too. So, yeah, pray for healing there. And so they're looking at, Lord willing, going to Florida at the end of this month. So if all's well, they'd still like to get down to the sunny south. So that's greetings from my dad and Evelyn, too. Just want to give a little update on the family. Monica partially dislocated her knee on January the 8th, and she's been in a lot of pain, swelling, and that's finally, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, Friday, she started on therapy, took the cast off. It was a plastic wraparound cast, and that did so much good for her. She's walking about these past 3 days almost like normal again, so that's been a hard road for her. Also, she's constantly having headaches. That's constantly, like, almost every day. So just pray for her to win the battle over these headaches and with bipolar ups and downs that go with it. So pray for Monica. She's had an extra bout with a gallstone, and that bladder got taken out, but they think there's a stone left behind in one of the bile ducts somewhere that's giving her grief. So she's having attacks still once a week. They haven't found it yet. She's going in for another type of ultrasound, a much better one that will show if there's anything there at all. So we've been kidding her. Maybe you got two gallbladders. They didn't see the other one when they did laparoscopic. Well, they can't see everything now. When you open you up, boy, they see it all. Anyway, pray for Monica that way. Jamie and Dorothy are doing fine, as well as can be expected in the pig industry. And for those of you that have had pigs, that's up and down. Jamie's health is relatively stable. For those of you asked in the time past and prayed for them. And Pete and Delisha are here. We have 5 children. Matthew, he has a job as a construction landscaper in Kitchener or Fergus. They work out of Fergus. So he lives just near the stockyards outside of Kitchener-Waterloo, the Waterloo Farmers Market, just in behind there. And Monica mentioned, and here Joy and Ari are here, and we're celebrating, yeah, just being here with them and today being here with you guys. My part on camp is the fix-it man. So I'm in the shop every day, generally speaking, and fixing broken tractors, broken blowers. Andrew Kim's van came through about a week ago. Just did the check over on it, got ready for the safety. It had just things like that. And nowadays the car's electronic, so that part I stay away from. If it's electronically and broke, don't ask me to fix it. There's other garages that have computers for that. I'm also on camp watch as the head of that. So like last Sunday, I ended up staying on camp for the Sunday, and that's my job and my responsibility to the students as well. They normally handle it, and it was last week because that was my responsibility. So pray for us, and thank you for praying. And different ones have mentioned they're praying even for... there's a fellow I'm doing a Bible study with out of Brussels. He's an auto body guy and wants to know how to meet God. Doesn't know. He's a Catholic fellow. So pray for Marco. It was a difficult week this week. The children are just wanting his attention. And as soon as we had the attention into the Bible study, they'd start yelling, they'd start screaming. And it was a real battle. So, pray for Marco that he would understand God's way of salvation. And going through that lesson, seeing creation, was the basis of the text that Nelson read, 1 John 4, there. How much God created us and his love for us in just going through the creation lessons with Marco. And just, it's indescribable. We can't. Do I even fathom it? I can't even fathom it. So I'll attempt to, as we get into the message this morning, just one small portion. So let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the joy you give us when we can see and experience your love. And Father, for your Spirit to have opened up our eyes to our lost condition, to the condition that we're utterly helpless to get out of. And oh Father, we just thank you and praise you for just the good things in life, the way you've created the sun, the moon, the seasons, and given us so much good things to enjoy in life. And Father, yet we see the results of sin and the hardships we have, the battles with the flesh, with the enemy of our soul, and the hardships of things going on around us. Father, we look to you for the victory, and Father, help us that it would cause us to cry out to you. So we rejoice that we are on the winning side. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and we thank you and praise you for that. So pray you would bless us with this portion this morning, and that your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts, to my heart, help me to have clarity of thought in going through this message in Jesus' name. Amen. I should say, too, Diane's in charge of the mission barrel there for donated items and the flower beds. Well, there's no flower beds in the winter, but she loves doing that, so that's her part there. And, as referred to, the basis of this message is was 1 John 4 and a couple other passages. We meet together every day as maintenance men. There's four of us, and we've been going through Romans. And the last few days it's been Romans 5, and what a beautiful portion to be in. And a few weeks ago, I was responsible for the nursing home meetings, and I dwelt on being in love. And that's been the talk about our house, the different words of love. They don't come out in the English Bible, but agape love comes out in John 21. Filio comes out. There's also the human eros love in a relationship, in intimacy. These words, it's just covered by love. And in the talking about it, in the scripture that comes up, I was asking myself, how do I love? How do we love? And when the passage there said to, because God loved us, so ought we to love one another. And that's agape love. And how do I love? How do we love each other? How do we love God? How do I love my spouse? Is it out of duty? Or is it out of I want to call it a free heart of love. Agape love. And there's a phrase, sometimes you meet couples that they're just arguing or going on, and the phrase is, there's little love lost there between them. Some of you might have heard that. Maybe it's from way, way back, but you growing up in a culture here, you pick up phrases, and is that our relationship with God. There's a little love lost on our part toward God. How do we love God? So I want to look into just a reference to Romans 5 there. And just skip down to verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. That's where I want to stop. The phrase, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. To me, it's been illuminated, and I don't know how to even fathom this love of God. Never mind explain it to you in the audience, how the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart, and it's because of this one book, the message of this one book. And as I was praying, Lord, what to speak on, the Lord brought a passage, and it's in 2 Kings 4, and we'll read, there's like 9 verses, 7 verses there, a story of how God demonstrated his kindness to a widow there. Two Kings 4, starting at verse 1. And if you've gone through Elijah, the life of Elijah, Elisha, the kings of Israel have revolted, and now they've broken down into the king of Judah, the kings of Israel, and they rebelled against God, generally speaking, and that's the era that Elijah comes in. And Elisha, and after Elijah gets called up to heaven in a chariot of fire with a chariot of horses in a whirlwind, Elisha takes over. And these are some of the stories of the happenings in the time of Elisha. Now there cried, this is verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt see set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Here we have this widow, and she's in a dilemma. And the dilemma was caused by the death of her husband. Death is an awful thing. It's a terrible thing to be standing in front of a man gasping for his last few breaths of air. And we had this happen to a Wano guy. He was sick with malaria. Couldn't get better. He just went downhill. 3 days in the hospital. It was like, as we're there to visit him, it's just he was gasping, and his breath got less and less, and then finally he stopped breathing. And for me, being involved with missionary work, supply buying, I was often in a relationship with the pilots, loading up the planes, the helicopter. Over the years, I had three pilot friends die in crashes. Neil Russler, Dave Clapper, Paul Westland with Wycliffe. It just, death is a terrible thing. And then my close friend Elisa, an Indonesian national, our granddaughter, Rebecca, my mom. Every one of us is going to die. The Bible says so. There's not one of us here, young, old, middle-aged. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And death is a horrible thing. And as we're going through these lessons from creation, in Genesis, it says there, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, this is Genesis 2, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know that Adam and Eve partook of that tree, and they didn't die physically right away, but they were separated from God, and they had that guilt. Right away, they wanted to cover themselves. Death is a terrible thing. So here's the need. This fella, this man died, and this we find that she's of the wives of the prophets that was there with Elisha. And the dilemma is, he's left a mortgage, or he's left a debt that was unpaid. We see that she's got two sons, she's got a pot of oil, and she's got a house. And it's a dilemma, a very big dilemma, because someone is going to take her sons to be their slaves to pay for this debt. And I was thinking of the parallel. We also have an indescribable dilemma. We have a holy, righteous God, and there's nothing that I can do to please God. There's no way that I can attain eternal life before God and come into God's heaven. And as I realized the need there of the widow and the dilemma she was in, just made me think of that those verses, for the wages of sin is death. We are in a dilemma. Death is coming, and what are we going to do about it? And that's the very thing Marco is dreading, is death. He got this flu, the swine flu, a number of years ago, and he gasped for air for about 3 weeks. And he was sharing with me how that he's not ready to die. He says, I'm not ready to meet God, and he wants to know how. And I said, well, the Bible gives us the answer. It tells us how. Would you like to study it? And yeah, he was open to that. So that's how that started. So the question may be asked, how did this death come apart? How did this come on this man? And we had a story in the nursing home about Lazarus. And Lazarus, why did Lazarus die? And Jesus said, his sickness is not unto death, in John 11:4, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It would seem like this death was to glorify God, and yet, in the sad circumstance, there's other occasions. In reading through the Kings, Elijah meets Obadiah, and do you remember the phrase that he uses? Obadiah's to go and find Ahab. Elijah says to him, and we're going to meet. And Obadiah says, what have I done to you? I thought you were God's prophet. Oh, I'm sorry. O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance? I'm sorry, I got the wrong reference here. That was 1 Kings 17. That's the widow. Obadiah says, how have I sinned that I'll come back and you're not here, and then Ahab will slay me. And also, the widow at Zarephath, she said, what have I done? Did you come here to cause the death of my son? That's when her son died. And Elijah breathes on him 3 times, and he comes back to life that time. She says, did you come here to cause the death of my son as a reminder that I've sinned against God? And some people put, this was the thinking back then. We found this in Asia too, that you're going to get zapped for your sin. Well, we're all born under God's wrath, And Romans says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So here we are in a dilemma, and we have God's wrath against us for our sin. And there's nothing, I was born with it. There's nothing I could do about it, and there's nothing I can do to remove it. And yet there is one. So in this story, we'll see how God works this out. So this lady says, I've only got a pot of oil in the house to Elisha. And we notice that she goes to Elisha, man of God. And the question that came to my mind, when I'm sick, where do I turn to? Am I thinking, oh, go to the doctor. Oh, I've got a cold. Take vitamin C. Oh, is my first thought to go to God? Well, this woman, her default was to go to this man of God. It's a good place to go. When we have a need, do we go to the drugstore? Do we go to the doctor? Do we seek man's wisdom or counsel in getting through this problem? Or do we turn to the Lord? And in the struggles that, as it were, emergencies I've gotten into and cried out to the Lord, God's answered every time. And to the point that here we are, standing right here before you. So is God included? My question is, in my day-to-day challenges. Matthew 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And it comes to me that it's very difficult for me to understand when I've been unlovely that my wife would love me. When I've been unlovely that God would love me. Impure that I am, vain and vile. And Scripture says, dust and ashes. It's just, these are words and thoughts from reading through Matthew Henry's commentary. That God, the Lord hath, God hath loved us such as we are, towards us mortals, us ungrateful rebels, wholly, utterly unable to meet God's righteous demand. And just grips me how much God loves us. And then we go back to Romans 5, 6. We didn't read it on there, but when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then there's this big but there. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's one that's able. We are totally unable. And it took me many years to realize that I was unable to meet God's righteous demand. I was trying my way to please God and never wanted to find out God's way, which was through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll go on with the next thought there. Elisha says, what have you got? And I've got a pot of oil, she says. And what does he say? Go borrow the vessels among all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And this is reminding me, there's certain Snap-on tools when I left for the field. I didn't sell my Snap-on one set of wrenches. I kept them. Is there rooms in your heart, the thought to me, that I'm hoarding to myself, I don't want to give over to God? Well, here, the thought to me was, make all available space in my life, in your life, for God to work. Empty all your rooms of clutter, is the thought. A little while ago, our son-in-law, he had the Hebrews 12:1. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I don't know what that is for you, but I know what it is for me. And whatever that is, lay it aside. It's holding you back. Then the next thing he says, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out all those into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. This is ironic. It's come out twice in this. And to me, it's speaking of shut the door, have that privacy with the Lord. This is a time for filling your vessel. Fill your vessel in privacy. A quiet time, maybe for sure the quietness of your heart. Maybe it's the quietness of your bedroom or in your car as you're driving. Maybe there's a quiet time right even here. I've been so often blessed. And I value this on the Sunday morning worship time. We come to worship the Lord, and just the beauty of being behind the shut doors here. So what a beautiful time there is for this time of the empty self to be filled with Him. Shut the door. There's also another door. Revelation 3:20. Jesus is not forcing His way on you. He's knocking at the door for that time of fellowship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus knocks first. He just doesn't barge in. Some countries, cultures, you just can, if the door's not locked, you're just able to barge right in, and there's no privacy that way. Indonesia, where we're at, we would say, knock, knock, and you'd go in. That you didn't even have to bang on the door. Jesus knocks first. Am I surrendering? Will you let Him in? He is so waiting for you to surrender. Another, Matthew 6:6. When you pray, what does it say there? Shut the door. And there's other times that Jesus, Matthew 26, we read through a week or so back, and I noticed in the garden there, He goes three times to pray. And every time He leaves the disciples at this one point, and He goes off alone. And so that, to me, is important too. Be there alone. Alone time with the Lord. And another time, in Acts 10, verse 9, Peter, when he gets that vision, what's he doing? It says he went on the housetop at noon. And that, to me, he's getting away from the hustle and the bustle by the kitchen, the people. And he's having that quiet time there on the housetop. So it says, she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And this brought to mind how that the Lord Jesus poured out His life, His blood for us. And we celebrated here this morning. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Or in the everyday English, after the meal, He took another cup of wine in His hands. Then He said, this is my blood. It is poured out for you. With it, God makes His new agreement. Has there ever been a time in your life that you've experienced somebody pouring out something that's precious to them? And Jesus' blood is the most precious. It's His life. I've had this happen time and time again, and it just brings wells up gratitude in my heart. And it comes back to, how do I love God? Am I loving God out of duty? Is my gratitude out of duty? Is it out of a free heart of gratitude? Back to filling the vessels. When we've come there with an empty vessel, and we come to realize that there's never a shortage of Jesus filling that vessel. We go to the wedding, the first miracle Jesus did there in Cana, and it says those vessels were filled with water, and then when they took them to the headmaster of the wedding, they were all turned into wine. And there was no shortage of wine on that wedding. That was gallons and gallons. And then Jesus has the same thought on John 7:37, on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted, "If you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Have faith in me, and you will have life-giving water flowing from deep inside you, just as the scriptures say." Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone that had faith in him. And this is for you, it's for me. And that is to experience this love presence, this God presence in your heart and in your life. There's other instances of the manna. When did the manna run out? It didn't run out till the people of Israel entered the promised land. Elijah and the widow, that cruse of oil and the flour, that widow was ready to make her last meal. And Elijah said, "Feed me first." He said, "Well, this is our last meal, then we're going to die." Well, Elijah said, that cruse of oil and that flour will not fail until there's sustenance back in the land. So there's never a shortage of Jesus filling, God filling our life. And that brings me to the provision God has made for us for eternal life. I've read to you or said, "For the wages of sin is death," and death is a horrible thing. But the gift of God, that's a free gift. It costs much, but it's a free gift. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The next part says, she came and told the man, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." It made me think of 1 Timothy 2:20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." God makes a provision for us to be filled every day. God made a greater provision for us to have eternal life, a life we didn't have to pay for, and yet came at great cost. And as we read in a couple times there in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. So God showed his love for us when he sent his son into the world to give us life. 1 John 4 verse 9. And real love isn't our love for God, but his love for us. Have you and I experienced that love? And God sent his son to be that sacrifice by which our sins are forgiven, to be that propitiation. Going back to the widow, she came and told the man, told Elijah, the things that had happened. And it's good for us to testify of God's love. It's part of the message of "Go ye into all the world." It's also good to testify of God's provision. Not just our salvation as the "Go ye," but his faithfulness day to day in life. A couple weeks ago, for instance, I was slogged down in some heavy snow here just 2 miles out of Listowel. And the car I was driving, almost, it was a little car, came to a stop. And a guy came flying in behind me, rear-ended me, whacked me way ahead. And I just was rejoicing. I was in this cushioned seat, and I didn't feel hurt at all. Like, other than being whammed into the seat, that was... Thank you, Lord. And just testify over and over again of God's faithfulness, God's goodness. And the story's not over yet. It's like they're still getting insurance for the car, and it sounds like they're going to give twice as much for what they had thought they were going to get. So it just... With the Lord, the story goes on and on. And there's a joy there that the Lord gives. And what does that joy become? Well, we know the verse. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when times are tough, when there is death in the family, when pilots die, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I've come to find it to be so. And I just want to echo those words that were sung in the last service. And if we could turn to 406. If we could sing this song, I am His and He is mine, loved with an everlasting love. And where's that? Verse 4. What a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Number 406. In singing this song, it triggered a memory. Wherever you're at, when you're God's, He is watching over you. And this came up, I was walking out of one of the tribes, about 22 kilometers, on a jungle trail, alone. And partway through the trail, I thought, if something ever happens to me, how will they ever find me? If I get eaten alive, how will they never know, ever know? No one ever know even where I disappeared off to. And as I was walking along, sometimes you see a beautiful bird, like a parrot, and it just stops and makes you realize God's here. And I had something like that, but it was totally different. It wasn't a bird. Well, I guess it was a big bird. It was this beautiful, I thought it was a fish right at my eye's height. It was brilliant, blue, red. I stopped and looked at it. I was trying to figure out, what is that? That's not a flower. And then suddenly it stood up, and it was a huge cassowary bird. And if they're threatened, you're on their territory. They'll kill you. And I was just taken up by the beauty of it and thanking the Lord for it, and it just walked off. And other things I saw on the path, and I just thanked the Lord for his protection. It just, this song reminded me that I am his and he is mine. There's nowhere, wherever you're at today, God's with you. Gracious God and Father, we just love and joy in your care for us, so much so that we've come to know and experience your love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we can't even fathom the fullness of that love, but just have come to sense a reality of it through Scripture, through forgiveness of sins, through redemption, through personal understanding of Jesus Christ and his life here on earth, of his love, and of his command to us that we are to love one another as he loved us. Father, we rejoice in this love and we pray your help. We're human. We fail over and over again. And Father, we need you. And Father, as much as we needed you for our salvation, we need you day to day. And come to the point, I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. And so Father, we just look to you for that help, to even to surrender that part of us that we may be hanging on to, and that you would fill that vessel with your outpouring of love on us, to be that vessel of love, of agape love to others, to share of your good news, to share of that joy to our spouse, to our friends, to those that do mean things to us. Father, we just look to you for that and cry to you for your work in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.